Leviticus 23, verses 23 to 25, says it's a reminder. So it's a reminder of what? Rosh Hashanah looks backward and forward at the same time. As Rabbi said earlier, it looks back to creation. According to Jewish tradition, man was created on the sixth day of creation, and that supposedly happened on Rosh Hashanah. So I took that a step further. If men were created on Rosh Hashanah, then it's possible, I can't be emphatic about this, of course, but it's possible that they might have fallen into sin on Yom Kippur, and hence the need for atonement. And that seems to follow the pattern. And Yom Kippur, the day of atonement or the day of covering, was that day when the Lord covered Adam and Eve with garments of skin. And then there was the Feast of Tabernacles. Once they sinned, death came in. If they hadn't sinned, they would have lived forever. But now that death had come in, they were going to live in their temporary shelters only a short time. So God sent them out of the garden to live their lives in their temporary shelters. So that seems to follow the pattern of the high holy days. One of the portions in the Torah portion for this time is Numbers 29:1. I don't know if we can get the slides up there. Okay, that was the first one from Genesis. Numbers 29:1, this passage is very similar to the scripture I just read in Leviticus. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall also have a holy convocation. You should then do no laborious work, and it will be to you for a day for blowing trumpets. So why do they blow trumpets? There's a number of reasons, and most of them are in Numbers. Numbers chapter 10, verse 2. Says, make yourselves two trumpets of silver, of hammered work. You shall make them. You shall use them for summoning the congregation and for having the camp set out. Those were two of the reasons. The next one, Numbers 10, verse 9. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from enemies. So you were to sound the alarm with the shofar when a war was on, when the enemy was attacking you. And I'm pretty sure this is where the bugle came from in the army. They would sound the bugle to charge into a battle in the army. They would also sound reveille to gather the troops again. So the bugle in the army must have been very biblical. And the next verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness and in your appointed feasts and in the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be for a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God. So we're supposed to blow the trumpets or the shofars on all the appointed feasts, not just today, but today is a lot more of them, and over the burnt offerings, over the peace offerings, and over the first days of your months, which is Rosh Kodesh on each month. In Psalm 81, it says, blow the trumpet at the new moon, which is Rosh Kodesh, and Rosh Hashanah is also one of them, and also at the full moon on our feast days. There are a number of holidays that fall on the full moon. Full moon is always the 15th of the month in the Jewish calendar. And we have the first day of unleavened bread on the 15th, which is a full moon. The first of Sukkot is the 15th. And also Tu B'Shevat. All of those things fall on the full moons in their months. But when it talks about our feast day, it's talking about Sukkot there. Trumpets also signaled the acknowledgement of a new king who was arriving. In 2 Samuel 15, it says, Absalom sent spies throughout all tribes of Israel, saying, As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom is king in Hebron. In 1 Kings, next one, it says, Let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there as king over Israel and blow the trumpet and say, Long live King Solomon. And then in 2 Kings 9:13 says, Then they hurried and each man took his garment and placed it under him on the bare steps and blew the trumpet saying, Jehu is king. So each time a new king was coming to power, they blew the trumpet to announce it. And the same thing happened at Mount Sinai, as Rabbi explained earlier. In Exodus 19, it says, So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. The Lord is showing up. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. God uses pyrotechnics. So God showed up at Mount Sinai, and they blew, and the trumpet came loudly announcing his arrival. And so when we sound the shofar, we're also acknowledging that God is our king and that Yeshua is coming soon. Rosh Hashanah, as we know, looks forward to Yeshua's coming. In Colossians chapter 2, it says, Therefore no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. So all the high holy days, all the Moedim are pointing to things to come. The one we read before, Numbers chapter 10, verse 2, said the shofar is to summon the congregation. And when Yeshua comes, he's going to summon his congregation. In Matthew, which we read part of earlier, Matthew 24, But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky. The powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And then verse 31, And he will send forth his angels with the great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. He's gathering his congregation. And then, of course, in 1 Corinthians 15, which we're familiar with, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And, of course, Rabbi has explained in many times and in many ways that that last trumpet is the Tekiah Gedolah of Rosh Hashanah. Another theme in Rosh Hashanah is God's blessings for the new year. Another Torah portion for this time, it includes Genesis 21 and 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. And those are about Sarah and Hannah having children. It reflects the emphasis that God blesses those who don't have children. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, and also Samson's mom were all barren, and God blessed them with children. And Jewish tradition says that most of them happened on Rosh Hashanah. We don't know and also Elizabeth in the New Testament. The women of old earnestly desired children. In Genesis 30, it says, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister. And she said to Jacob, give me children or I die. That's how much they wanted children in those days. And just like they wanted physical children, we should be wanting spiritual children. In Genesis chapter 1, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's what God said to Adam and Eve. God's blessing often includes being fruitful and multiply and giving children. He said the same thing to Noah and his sons after the flood. And then in Genesis 28, it says, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. That's what Isaac said to Jacob when he sent him away to Padanaram. And in Psalm 127, which we're familiar with, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. So there's so many references to God blessing by giving children. So we should earnestly desire spiritual children. Rosh Hashanah remembers creation, and each child that's conceived is a new creation. In 2 Corinthians, verse 5, it says, there, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So not only is every child who is born a new creation, everyone who is born again is a new creation. So we renew Rosh Hashanah every time somebody gets saved. So we need to preach the gospel in order to bring forth the children. But then we can't leave them that way. We have to raise them as well, raise the new believers, and that required discipleship. When we get somebody to pray the sinner's prayer and then we say goodbye and leave them alone, we're abandoning the babies on the doorstep. Yeah. It's our responsibility as new parents to take care of the new children that we've brought forth. Mm-hmm. Another theme of this holiday, as Rabbi has said earlier, that God will write us in his book of life, for another year. In Daniel chapter 12, says, now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. That's the rapture again. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And the last verse 3, and those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So he's connecting here the end times with leading me to righteousness. And it's talking about the great influx of salvations that are going to be happening in the end time and probably the end time revival, the latter rain. He's connecting the two there. So, how do we lead the many to righteousness? What do we need? Proverbs chapter 11 says, he who is wise wins souls. So we need wisdom to bring forth new believers. And, of course, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and abradeth not. So it's our responsibility to ask God for wisdom continually in order to have the right words to say to bring people to the Lord. Now, making babies, physical or spiritual, requires two entities. In John 6, it says, "No one comes to me, Yeshua, unless the Father who sent me draws him." So that's the Father's responsibility to draw them and also to give us the wisdom. And it's our job to do the labor, the footwork, and go tell them. So that's our responsibility, the two entities that it's needed to bring forth new life. So I'd like to pray for us right now. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in us and through us in this new year. And Father, for all of us who have been barren spiritually, who have not brought forth children, we rebuke the spirit of barrenness right now, Lord God. We speak health and wholeness, physically and spiritually, to everyone in this place, Lord God, that your spirit will arise within us and give us the wisdom and the words and the courage and everything we need to bring forth new children, Lord God, into your kingdom. That this year will be a year of abundant blessings, of bringing forth children into your kingdom, Father, and that your house will be full. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Amen.